Hi, Marty Lurie here, KMBR 680, and this is our weekly edition with the philosopher. That is George Contos. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Glad to be back. And how are you doing?
Pretty good. You know, the season's moving along. As I tell the people, I have to be the psychiatrist. You're the philosopher. I'm the psychiatrist. That there's, 150 games to go, and so much can happen. But let's talk philosophy of baseball. Fans get jumpy in the beginning of a season. Do players get jumpy, too?
No. I think everyone wants to hit the ground running, and sometimes you're able to do that, and sometimes you have your little bit of growing pains at the beginning of the season, and I think we've showed that we're going through that just a little bit, but I think we have 151 more games to go, and I can tell you that nobody in our clubhouse is panicking. We've seen some really, really good things, and we've seen some of the things that we think we can work on and maybe get ahead instead of playing the comeback game that we've done the first couple weeks of the season. But all in all, I think everyone's feeling good, and we're about to hit the stride, and I'm expecting some good baseball to be coming our way.
Yeah, I think the word is consistency is what you look for in teams and in players, and especially a bullpen. You and I have talked about bullpens, and you've got your consistency for a number of years now. Bullpen life, guys are not always consistent. They go up and down year to year, but you need that consistency. Is it hard to maintain it?
The biggest thing for me is I try to just keep everything as even keeled. Never get as even kill as I can. You never really get too high and you never really get too low. I think games that don't go your way are going to happen. If you go out there and you make between 60 and 70 appearances a year out of the bullpen, all of those appearances are not going to go as smoothly as I would want or everybody else would want them to go for me. So all you can do is try and keep it as simple as possible. Try and keep it as simple as possible by executing each pitch at a time and only focusing on that one pitch and not letting the situation get out of hand or get away from you. All you can do is try and focus on one pitch in one spot at one time, and usually if you can do that, good things tend to happen more often.
Baseball players are a funny bunch. Some are more emotional than others. Some flip bats. Some shoot arrows. Some make believe they're shooting guns. Who knows what else they're doing. I watch you on the mound, and you are an emotional guy. You look to me like you're a prize fighter that's ready to take a punch. And I say, don't look at his stuff. Look at him.
Yeah, I've always gone out there and I've kind of been the type of pitcher that I challenge hitters. I go out there and, I may not throw the hardest and all that or have the best stuff, but, I think my stuff's pretty good. It plays up, but I'm going to go out there. I'm going to try and locate. I'm going to compete. I'm not really going to give in to hitters. And I think for me, the most important thing is that I go out there and I can throw strikes with a number of different pitches I throw to both sides of the plate. So, when I take the mound, everyone always kind of tells me that knows me well. They say, when you go out there, you can tell you're kind of in work mode. And, that's my job out there. That's what I get paid to do, and I want to take pride in doing it as well as I can. So when I go out there, whether there's guys on base or nobody on base, I'm out there trying to get outs, and that's the bottom line for me is they can be sexy strikeouts or they can be rollovers to shortstop. But if I get three outs and no one crosses home plate, it's a successful outing for me.
All right, our philosopher is with us. We got in the philosophy of being a relief pitcher. The last few years you were outstanding and inherited runners. Now it looks like maybe they're using a little bit more in a cleaner inning. Does it make a difference to you?
No, I think the end goal is the same, is to go out there and get outs and preserve the lead. But this is something that I'm very proud of. I think I've been pitching in that seventh inning, and that's something that I've really wanted the last couple years, is some more responsibility and some more trust. And I think this year I've gotten that, very happy to have gotten that. And I'm going to go out there and try and put up a zero every time I go out there and try and accumulate as many holds for Melanson as I can.
How's life down in the bullpen? It's always kind of interesting to learn the psyche of the bullpen or the culture of the bullpen. You got some new people down there this year, and then a lot of guys have been with you for a while, but what's life like down there?
It's a little bit different. First and foremost, Mark has spoken to the brass above and gotten us a very nice new little bullpen set up down there. So we're living in a little bit of higher style. We have some couches. We have a couple big screen TVs now, where we can watch the game a lot easier than the way we were roughing it before with our 27-inch. I think now we have a 65-inch TV down there, which is great. It's a nice new floor. We have some couches instead of those lawn chairs, so we're living a little bit nicer. But it's different not having those guys that we've had in the past. Casilla, Lopi, and Romo. Not having them there on a daily basis, I think we understand that they're gone now, but it's still a little bit different not having them down there. And I think the first couple weeks of the season was everyone seeing where it was going to play out without the presence of those guys. But I think we've established kind of how we're going to attack later in the game, and roles are starting to get established. And I think the fact that we have established roles is really going to make a big difference for us this year. Knowing when you're going to get the call to pitch makes it a lot easier to prepare to go in the game.
I agree. George Contos, our philosopher, is with us. Now, we're sitting in the dugout here, and we're kind of where Bruce Bochy hangs out, or Ron Wotus. Now, where is this room you're talking about? Tell me where it is.
It's just down the stairs. Whenever you see everybody coming up from the tunnel, you go down the stairs, and you have the batting cages in front.
Right.
Then you have our little bullpen area, which is kind of just a little room down there where we have just some stuff to stretch out. We have a place for us to sit. You know, I know Rags, for one, doesn't like when they're talking about who they're going to bring into the game. I know he doesn't like seven heads popping down looking at him from the other end of the dugout. So once the first or second inning's over, we all go down there and we start watching the game and seeing how our pitchers in the game are attacking their hitters and getting an idea of what we're going to do. So we're not watching it live per se to be watching it on the field, but we're down there and we have the live feed and we get to watch everything from behind and get ourselves ready to go.
All right, the culture of the bullpen. Now, didn't Javi keep score? I thought he kept score.
On the road. On the road we keep score. So we have this tradition on the road where Mark Gardner gives the game chart to a different reliever to try and score some runs. And, you know, Javi had the hot hand for a couple years there. I've had some luck myself. Tyra has had some luck as well, scoring some runs for us. So it's a little fun game that Gardner likes to play whenever he doesn't want to do the book. He challenges us to somehow superstitiously get some runs. So on the road we do that. At home we kind of just sit down there and, you know, once the fourth or fifth inning rolls around, you start zoning in on who you might be facing whenever your inning comes about. So just kind of getting zoned in down there.
Now, what happened to Tyra, who was the bullpen catcher? He broke his thumb. Did you do that to him?
I did not. My throwing partner, Hunter Strickland, threw him a pretty good split or something like that, and I think it had some late action to it. And, Tyra caught it right off the tip of his finger, which I don't think resulted in anything good for him. But hopefully he'll recover quickly and be back with us, another 5-6 weeks.
Well, they said he'd send him to Sacramento for rehab.
Yeah, he's going to have to go buy those guys some spread and catch some bullpens down there before he can rejoin the team.
George Contos joins us. All right, this team doesn't come back in the ninth inning. They've gone 200 games without coming back in the ninth inning. Does anybody have the scorebook on the road in the ninth inning?
No. Whenever a pitcher's getting up to warm up to go in, Gardy takes the book back. So, the one, we may have not come back, but we're working on it. We're getting close. You know, we've made it interesting later in the game lately, and I think once we start getting one or two of those to fall our way, we're the team that you can't quit until that last out's made. Even last night, we put a lot of pressure on Holland, who had pitched very well up until last night's outing, and, you know, a couple feet in either direction, we have a tie ball game with Nooney hitting that ball pretty square, just right in LeMahieu's direction. But, we put together good at-bats, and the one thing about this team that I've loved, and it's been this way since I've got here, is when your back's against the wall, we always seem to make the right plays and make things happen and make it interesting. So I think if we can continue to do that and keep putting pressure on, eventually those big hits will fall later in the game.
People talk about the pace of the game. People are talking all sorts of rules. I know you and I may not have talked about this yet, but have a reliever, he must pitch to two batters. The catcher can't come out and talk. The coach can only come out once. What do you think about stuff like that?
You know, the game's been the way it is for 100 years. And if they're trying to speed the game up by two extra minutes, but limiting what you're going to do, you know, sometimes if there's a pinch hitter and nobody knows about him or nobody knows too much about him, if he just got called up from AAA, you have to go out there and you have to get your stuff right, plan of attack, what you're going to do with the pitcher. So, you know, for a couple extra minutes, the game's been the same for a long time, and it's a great ball game. I don't really see the need in making a big fuss about a couple extra minutes when, you know, in reality, some of these replays take a whole bunch of time anyways. And, limiting the interaction between the pitcher and the pitching coach or the catcher, I think is just, you're pulling teeth at that point.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're a Northwestern guy. Can't they give you signals on the side, touch it, throw this, throw that?
You know, it's tough. You want to simplify the game as much as you can, but sometimes, things don't go your way or the game may speed up on somebody, and you just need to calm down, you know. And the catcher goes out there and just offers a little breathing room for the pitcher. And sometimes if you don't do that, things can get out of hand. So, you know, I've been on the receiving end of some of that advice where Buster's come out and,
what does he say?
You know, he just calms you down. You try and simplify it. You know, hey, this is what we're going to do first pitch. This is what we're going to do second pitch. Focus, throw the ball to the glove. Just simple comments like that can really help a pitcher get back into the groove if they're hard or if they're having a hard time doing it on their own.
You know, let me ask you this. He doesn't ask you where you're going to have dinner or anything like that.
Buster's come out to the mound before one time. He put his glove up to his face and didn't say a word to me and then walked back to home plate. And then he left and I started laughing. I was like, what was that? But afterwards, it was, you know, just a little bit of a breath of fresh air and things went well after that. So it was pretty funny. He came up, he looked at me, stared at me, smiled, and then he left.
That sounds like something Bell would do.
Yeah, Bell, we have a lot of guys. We know each other now with the guys here. The infield's been the same for a long time. Buster's obviously been the staple behind the plate, but we all know each other very well, so we know kind of how each other operates and what it takes to get everybody back on track.
All right, our philosopher is with us, George Constance. It's very funny. On a serious note, Brandon Crawford lost his sister-in-law, and as I explained to people, we're a community. Even on the call-ins, if something happens to a caller who calls in all the time, the whole call-in community kind of feels it. You're a family. What was that like, and how do you support Brandon?
You know, it's obviously tough. I had never met Jalen's sister. We've heard, you know, being around them all the time, you know, you hear about everyone's family and each other's stuff going on in their personal life. But, you know, it's very sad. All you can do is offer him the support. You know, how's everybody going? How are you? And, you know, coming to the ballpark is kind of a safe haven, you know, for everything going on in your personal life, whatever it may be, good or bad. You get to come to the ballpark and sit in the clubhouse with guys that you get to see every day for 8 months out of the year, and it really makes you feel better regardless of what you have going on in your out-of-the-field life. So, you know, we've all offered our condolences to Crawford and Jalen and their family, but all you can do is be supportive and come here and pick him up and try and brighten his day any way you can, and when you see her, try and do the same for her. But, you know, nothing that we can say or nothing that we can do can really ease the pain. It's a time thing, but we're all here to support in any way we can.
Yeah, grieving is normal, not only for the immediate family, but for everybody else. It's okay to feel that way.
Yeah, you know, of course. You have to accept those feelings and try and deal with them, and I think time slowly heals everything. But, you know, right now I know they're going through a hard time, and, you know, all you can do is just offer your support and make him laugh or make her laugh or just try and get a smile out of them any way you can.
Well, you're getting ready to go on the road. Kansas City, you've been there before.
Yes, I have. I've been to Kansas City before. It was a very hostile environment last time we were there, but it was also very fun. So, you know, I know I'm looking forward to going back there. I'll probably have some family and friends come down from Chicago. So it'll be nice to see some people and, you know, be able to get on the field and play there this time.
Yeah. Well, the Cubs got their rings.
They did. They did get their rings.
What do you think?
I think they look nice. You know, for after 108 years, I would hope that Theo and the Ricketts family would do them right. But, you know, from everything I've seen, they look like they were done very, very nice.
Hey, and the bullpens are not on the field anymore, Wrigley. How about that?
See, that I'm not a big fan of. I really enjoyed them being on the field there. You know, I think partially because I'm from there and I'd have people all the time walking by just saying hello and catching up for a quick second. But, you know, it'll be different. It'll be different. I know the bullpen is similar to what they have over there in Houston in that little enclosed area. But, you know, I'm not sure how I'll feel about it. But at first asking, I'm not a big fan of it, I don't think.
All right. Well, good to see you. And good. You're hitting the philosophy very well. I like it. You're doing really well. And as I say, the road trip's happening. We'll see you back here after the Dodger series. After those games here, we'll have our Friday together. Georgie, thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Marty.
All right. That's George Contos, our philosopher. More coming up. KNBR 680, the sports leader.